A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The boy was so curious, and he asked his father, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad? And where did you get it?" And so the dad was trying to explain to him. He said, "Son, you see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy replied, "Oh, the only Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." He said, "The only Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Today, my friend, all of us are aware that today is Palm Sunday. It's a day that together with many Christians throughout the world, we celebrate the triumphant entrance of Christ into Jerusalem. All of us are very familiar with the story. It's a day that Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He asks his disciples to bring a colt to him that he would ride into Jerusalem. And you hear the shouts of people. They were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Can you imagine around 2 to 3 million people were gathered at that time? There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of joy, expectations. And they were saying, "Jesus is here. Hosanna." And they were laying their cloaks and also the branches on the floor. And today, when we look at the passage, you know, we begin to ask ourselves, you know, we see a lot of excitement here, a lot of joy here, a lot of expectation. But within a couple of days, things have already changed. You know, why did the crowds who adored Jesus on Sunday turn against him by Friday of that week? What went wrong in less than a week? They were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in a week time, they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." What has happened? Why has the excitement turned into anger and frustrations? Why did they abandon the Messiah? Today, my friend, I think it's important for us to ask, can this happen to us in our Christian life too? And what does Palm Sunday present to us? We thank God for the word that is given to us, because from the passage that we are about to look today, we will draw lessons from Jesus' entry and also answer the questions that we were raising today. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, as we look at your word, we pray for enlightenment, God. We pray that you'll open our eyes to see you, Jesus. Lord, we come with questions. We come, Lord, with so many things in our lives. We pray, Lord, as we dwell on your word, we pray that you'll speak to us. Help us to see you, Jesus. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, I believe many of us would have encountered this question in our life. Someone might have even asked us this question. They would have asked, "What are you looking for in life? What are you living for? Or what are you hoping for? What are you searching for?" Or maybe we would have asked someone the same question. "Oh, no, what are you hoping for? What are you looking for?" Interestingly, when you look at the passages of the Bible, you realize, you know, Jesus asked two inquisitive individuals, disciples, Andrew and John, in John chapter 1, verse 38, "What are you looking for?" And not only that, during his discussion with the disciples, Jesus was calling them aside and asking them, you know, "Who do people say I am?" And then he looked at them and asked, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" You know, Jesus' question invites the disciples and us to discover our journey, both about ourselves and also about the God that we worshipped. I believe the Lord is also asking the same question to us today. What are you looking for? Or what are we looking for in Jesus today? It might be a strange question, but I think it's an important question for us to ask. What are we looking for in Jesus? You know, when you look at this, have you ever wondered why there are some Christians who struggle in their faith, who struggle to surrender their lives completely to Jesus Christ? Or there are many who reject Jesus. They know His word, they have read His word, but they're not willing to accept Him into their lives. It's a struggle. You know, one of the reasons I realize is that many people want Jesus of their own making. This is the Jesus that I want. This is how Jesus should be in my life, in my family, and this is the way I want Him to function. We want Jesus to endorse our plans, to fulfill our desires, and this is how we may make of the Lord Jesus. We desire Him to establish our kingdom rather than His kingdom. The passage that we just read today, the triumphant entry of Jesus, reveals what people were searching Jesus for. What were they looking for Jesus, and who Jesus really is and what He expects from us, my friend. Let's look at the passage, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. You know, and Jesus approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. You realize Jesus is sending two of His disciples, and He says, you know, go to the village ahead of you. And He says, when you go, you will find a colt there, and bring it, untie it and bring it to me. And if anyone asks, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord needs it, and He will send it back shortly. And the two of the disciples went, and they went there, and they saw exactly the colt was there, and the same question was asked of them, what are you doing? And they replied, and it was given to them. You know, when you look at this, for a moment, I believe the disciple would have been puzzled. You know, why? He wants us to go to this village, and He says there would be a colt there, and people will be asking questions. And it turned out that whatever Jesus said happened exactly, my friend. And so Jesus is making a statement here that He is the Messiah, that He is in control. Like the disciples, we are called to acknowledge and accept His rightful rule. It's not about our rule, but about His rule. Look at the verse very carefully. It says in verse 1 and verse 2, it says that Jesus sent them forth. He sends the disciples. It's a very interesting word in the Greek text. It means that He's sending them with authority. He's sending them with a commission. You know, like a master who sends, He's sending them because He is in charge. He is the authority. He is the sovereign God. And He wants His disciples to obey. Realize when they go there, it happens exactly what they said. Questions were asked, why are you taking this colt? And the answer, the master needed it. And if you realize, the owner was willing to offer his colt to Jesus. You know, when I look at this passage, I realized, you know, during the time of Jesus, the colt was a valuable possession for an ordinary middle-class family. And the person gives. It also tells me, it reminds me that everything belongs to God. He is in charge. Everything belongs to Him because He is the Creator. As we read in Psalm 50, verse 10, Jesus knew exactly, and He uses a colt, my friend, because He wants to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and even in Psalm 24, that He will enter the eastern gate as a servant king. Whatever Jesus said was exactly done, and Jesus knew everything. We see His divine foreknowledge here. He knows what is to be done because He is the Lord. And we need to acknowledge His rule, that He is sovereign, He is God, He is the Lord. And today I think it's important for us to ask this question. Do we accept His rightful lordship? What are we looking for in Jesus? Is it our lordship or is it His lordship? If you are a Christian, if you are a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saying, Lord, I accept Your lordship. And I know it can be a struggle, because it was a struggle among the disciples too. Because when you read passages, they saw His miracles, they knew what Jesus is able to do, but they came to Jesus because they had selfish ambition in them. In great example is Mark chapter 10. Two disciples, James and John, they wanted a place of prominence. They wanted a place of power in God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 18, you realize in verses 1 to 3 and chapter 19, 27 to 30 onwards, you know, they had selfish ambition here. And they were asking, what is there for me in all this? What do I get at the end of the day? And there was a struggle for power. They asked, who would be the greatest? They wanted to be in charge. They want their kingdom. But do we accept His lordship? The Apostle Paul writes beautifully in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. He says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. Today, my friend, you know, scores of people consider themselves to be Christians. It's wonderful. But unfortunately, there are many who have never made a commitment to Jesus as Lord. It is one thing to know that Jesus is the Savior, but it's another thing to know and to acknowledge Him as the Lord of our life, the Master of our life, the One who leads us. Today, my friend, I think we need to ask ourselves, what is Jesus to us? Is He our Master? Is He our Lord? Is He in charge? Is He the one that I obey, that I seek, that I give myself to? Secondly, when you look at the passage in this beautiful triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize there's a lot of excitement here. People were so excited. They were singing. They were rejoicing. At the same note, they were also pleading. They were saying, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And they said, Hosanna in the highest heaven. What happens in verse 7? You realize they bring the colt to Jesus, and Jesus is sitting on the colt and He's making His entry into Jerusalem. And the disciples bring their cloaks and they place it on the colt. And the crowd was so excited when they see Jesus. They spread their cloaks and they went and cut branches, the scripture tells us, to honor Jesus. Can you imagine around 2 to 3 million people were gathered? There was so much of excitement because they were coming in anticipation. They were looking for God to do something while they were there. And that is the expectation of every Jew who comes during the Passover feast. They expect God to do to deliver them. The crowd's response to Jesus' entry shows they were aware. They were not just singing songs. They knew what they were singing. They said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They knew Psalm 118. They knew that the Messiah will come. They knew it is only the Messiah who is able to save them, to redeem them. But unfortunately, when you look at that passage very carefully, the people, the crowd who acclaimed Jesus on the first Palm Sunday did not correctly understand the salvation that Jesus was about to bring. They were crying for physical deliverance from a physical enemy. They were hoping for the Messiah to overthrow the Roman rule and to bring Israel back to a place of prominence. But little did they know that the Messiah had come for another purpose, for another reason, for another mission. Jesus came to save them from their spiritual problem, that sin, my friend, from their sins, from their transgression. They were singing Hosanna. They wanted physical deliverance, but Jesus is there to give them spiritual deliverance, deliver them from the wickedness, deliver them from the bondage they were in, and from the sins of their life. When you realize when Jesus did not do that for them, what happened? When Jesus did not fulfill the expectations, they turned against him. They abandoned him because their image of Jesus was different. And this is what I expect him to do. And this is what I want Jesus to do in my life. When I don't see these things happening, they leave. But Jesus came for a different reason, for a different mission, to save us from our sin, to give us the peace which the world cannot give us. Difference, I think, we need to ask ourselves, are we any different from the crowd today? Are we different? Or am I different in any way to the crowd? It is dangerous to attempt to worship God on our own terms. We need to give him the rightful praise. He is the Savior. And we need to praise him because he is the Savior. He is the one who's able to save us from our sins, from our weakness, from our wickedness, and also from our transgression. Jesus is able to save us. When we worship him, how do we worship him today? We worship him because this is what we expect, or do we worship him because he's the one who saves us from my sins? And he's the only one who can forgive me, who can redeem me. Jesus is able to forgive us, my friend. And when you look at the passage in verses 15 onwards, 15 to 17, realize that Jesus is in Jerusalem. He enters the temple courts. You see another scene that's happening here. He goes into the temple courts and he began driving out those who are buying and selling. Can you imagine? He goes and he overturns the tables of money changers. And no one was able to carry merchandise through the temple courts. What's happening here? They were saying Hosanna. There was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of joy, even like more of a celebration. What's happening here? Jesus is turning the tables. It might be a little shocking for us to imagine Jesus knocking tables and chasing people out of the building. What's happening here? They were happy with Jesus. I believe when he went into the temple court, the merchants and the traders would have said, "You know, Jesus, you have created a movement here. We are so excited because of you. Probably today our profits were high. our stocks went high today because of you. It's great that you are here, that crowds are so excited. But why did Jesus overturn the table? When you look at the gospel accounts, you realize that Jesus is cleansing the temple here. Why? Because the worshippers were being exploited and they were valid only for their money. And not only that, my friend, no, God was excluded from the temple. God was excluded from the temple because monetary profits was more important than spiritual profits. Jesus was angry because God's house was intended to be used for worship, but it was used for other purposes, for selfish gain. Because they wanted to build their own kingdom. They wanted to have more possession. And they used the name of Jesus. What a sad thing that we read here. The house of God has turned to be a place for other means, for other gains. There was religion without Christ. They were holding on to tradition without Christ. They were having a lot of activities that was happening. Business was thriving. Things were happening without faith, without the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was excluded in the worship. And Jesus comes in to judge, my friend. And are we ready for the coming King? Are we ready for Him to come and to cleanse us? And to cleanse us. And to see whether we are worshipping Him rightly. And I believe that Jesus is still cleansing the temple. But not the temple I'm talking in Jerusalem, because it was totally destroyed. But I'm speaking about the temple, which is our own body, where the Spirit of God dwells. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 onwards, if you realize in 19 onwards, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own," he says, "for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And Jesus is still cleansing our temple. And are we ready for God's cleansing? Are we ready for God's judgment, my friend, of our lives? As our believers, are we keeping ourselves holy, pure, acceptable? Are our spiritual house filled with clutter of sin? It's filled with a lot of things which is contrary to the Word of God. Is it filled with lying? Is it filled with gossip? Is it filled with love of money? Is it filled with anger? And God comes to judge and to cleanse us. Are we ready? Dear friends, wherever we are today, or whatever our past might be, or whoever you are today, no matter whatever struggles we might be going to, or worries, you know, the Lord invites us today. He wants us to see Him, to know that He is the Lord, and He is the true God. Because many times, people have a different image about the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to help us. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to bring the joy and the peace in our life, my friend. The people misunderstood Jesus. They were singing with a different anticipation. I want you to watch a small video clip. In that particular clip, I want you to just not only surrender, but also lay before Christ. the things that actually stops you from acknowledging His rule in your life. The things that has actually taken over our life has blinded us from coming close to Christ. As you see, as you reflect on the video clip, I just want you to just surrender whatever that's stopping you from worshiping this God who is true. And God wants to cleanse us. He wants to cleanse our spiritual temple. And why don't we say, Lord, I'm struggling. And I just want to lay that before you. Jesus demonstrates His love, my friend, because He loves us so much. And He wants to be not only the Savior of our life, but also the Lord of our life. I want you to watch this video clip and reflect.